guys, I am Cameron Esposito, and you are listening to Wham Bam Pow. This is an action and movie podcast. We're going to talk about sci-fi. What?
You said action and movie podcast.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
I'm an action and sci-fi movie podcast. Yeah, crap. Yeah. Well, later we're going to get some action. And it's going to be a movie. I'm describing porn. When I say it like that, you know what I mean? I didn't even realize what I was saying.
But I thought about porn, and then when you said it was porn, the last thing that was on my mind was porn.
So today, as always, I am joined with my two friends. We are back from a one-week break for Memorial Day. Lindsay, our producer, put together a great best of, some hits from the past, some shows that we did before we launched. So please check that out from last week. But we're happy to be back with you. With me today, as always, the Afro spokesman and my friend, Mr. Ricky Carmoni. Carmoni?
Carmoni, girl.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
What's happening? My fucking... I need to... Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that was great.
Take your time.
The Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, girl. How you doing? What's up, everybody?
I would just say that if you ever are married and get divorced,
yeah,
instead of alimony, Carmoni. If you ever, or instead of like making that paper,
yeah,
maybe you're bringing in that Carmoni.
Ooh, I like that.
That's good.
Bringing that Carmoni.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Part of the reason that I like James Brown so much is when he says Carmona, it almost sounds like Carmona. So I'm like, give me that shout out, James. Give me that shout out.
That okay. I'm looking at that song with new eyes. That's what you do with songs, right? You just look at
them.
Sheet notes. Sheet notes? That's a thing. I'm doing great. All right.
Yeah.
Also with me, the lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
I feel silly. I feel silly tonight.
This is our first drunk episode.
Yeah, we are hammered. There's a keg over there.
And, oh, man.
And we're standing on it?
Yeah, we're doing a standing on the keg.
Can I say one thing, though? I do want to say one little
Only
public...
Only one thing you're allowed in this episode.
One thing. I do want to apologize for our last episode when I said that I would have CGI Muppets.
Oh, because you got somebody chastised you.
I got called out on Twitter, as I rightly should have. You know, I was hopped up on caffeine and just, you know, CGI is just like constantly floating around me because I'm always seeing 3D movies. And, you know, I got carried away.
Okay.
And that was really unfortunate. I just want to apologize to everybody that's listening.
On behalf of the listeners and Ricky and myself, I accept your apology. But I also want you to know that in this room, we're just going to correct you. There's no shame.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to leave and carry that wrong with you.
Mm-mm.
You can just know that we're going to give you feedback. We're going to disagree. Half of the things I say cause Ricky to pop his afro off his head, hold it in his hand, and then pop it back on because he can't believe what I'm saying. There's no shame in an opinion.
Thank you.
Even if it's an incorrect opinion.
Wham Bam Pow is a safe
place. This is a safe space.
Thank you.
If you ever say anything like that.
Yeah.
If you...
You're out of here! Okay.
It is a two strikes, you're out.
Other things to say, just up top. I know, Ricky, you are going to be traveling next week.
I am,
yes. Are you doing some shows?
I am. I'm going to be traveling for the next 2 weeks. But next week I will be in Cincinnati at Go Bananas.
Do you know the dates on that?
I do. It's June 6th through the 9th.
Awesome.
And that's going to be fantastic. And then the week after that, I'll be in Minneapolis. I am not good with numbers. I don't know the dates
on
that, but I will let you know, people.
And are you going to be at Acme?
In Minneapolis, I will be at Acme this week at Go Bananas in Cincinnati, and then at Acme the week after that.
So please go out and check out Mr. Ricky Carmona. He is a joy to watch on stage, and you're going to love to meet him. Also, I will add that I have a bunch of new tour dates up on my website, which is CameronEsposito.com, appropriately titled. Also, Rhea and I, Ms. Rhea Butcher and I, will be in Chicago at the Hideout on July 5th for a one-night-only show to celebrate the independence of not only our country, but also women, independent women.
All my single ladies.
All of our single ladies. And also men are welcome as well.
I'll be there in spirit. I'll be there in spirit.
So please check us out if we're coming to your town. I'm actually traveling quite a bit over the next couple weeks. I mean, a couple months. So please check it out. And we'd love to meet you. Following that with some movie news. We'll be back in a second to start that out. Okay, bringing the movie news to the show today, we've got a lot to talk about, guys. First of all, I hope you enjoyed that guitar lick. Second of all, Ridley Scott is pushing a Blade Runner sequel forward. The original Blade Runner writer, Hampton Fancher.
It sounds like Fancher. The guy who wrote Blade Runner.
Hampton Fancher. Yeah,
that sounds.
he was originally attached to writing a sequel, but no longer the case. Right now, it is rumored that it is going to that the torch, the robotic humanoid torch, has been passed to the guy who wrote Green Lantern.
Oh boy,
who's called weirdly Michael Green. Are you okay?
Interesting.
If that's right. But anyway, Green Lantern writer. Okay. I want to get some opinions on this, first of all.
Okay. Here we go.
First question. Why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah,
Blade Runner sequel? Rhea.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I'm not on board. I was on board with Prometheus, number one. I was totally into that when that was happening. Well...
And he dropped the goo ball.
And then he dropped it. I just
dropped the black goo ball.
I don't understand the point of like remaking or adding on to something that is like part and parcel. Like it's done.
Understand what you're trying to say is that also. So Alien, the movie, there are so many concepts that are involved that could be started again or taken in a different way. We could go before, we could go later. There's so many things you can do with that concept. I agree with you that Blade Runner does seem, well, I think Alien is the most complete movie, perhaps ever.
Ooh.
There are some things about just the storyline in Blade Runner really feels finished to me.
Yes.
Ricky, what do you think?
I think I'm going to get some threats like you got for CGI Muppets here. I think Blade Runner is an overrated movie. When I heard that they were doing this, I was like, And I've given Blade Runner so many chances. I've gone to see it in the theater and fallen asleep.
Man.
So, like, it's just not...
So, you're not into... What is it? Are you not into gymnastics or Daryl Hannah?
I love Daryl Hannah.
Do you have a problem with
Splash
eye makeup?
In the theater. Oh, that's my girl.
Yeah, she's pretty good in Splash.
She's pretty great.
She looks good in a fin.
Yes, she does.
She looks really good in a fin.
She can rock a fin.
Well, I guess my issue with this is... I just don't know... Prometheus... For me, I felt like it was a massive departure from a Ridley Scott film. It did not feel right to me. So I'm curious to see if he can he make something that feels like him. You know, to me that felt true about that movie.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, not just to say that I think Blade Runner is dumb, but I always get excited now that it seems like Ridley Scott is like, I want to make sci-fi movies again.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I'm excited about that. But yeah, I agree exactly what you said on Prometheus.
Well, so we're on the fence about that. Actually, by on the fence, I mean we're both kind of, you don't give a shit, but I'm not into it. We'll see. I'll go see it.
I'll definitely see it.
Other things to note, just some things that we haven't mentioned that are coming up this summer or early fall that I was excited about that we haven't discussed at all. So World War Z, have you guys seen the trailer for this?
Yes.
Yes.
I've seen both.
Yeah, there's two trailers. I've seen both. I actually think that there's some stuff that they're doing in the trailers. Like, there's this body stack that's happening with all these zombies. I can't really see zombie movies. I think I will try and see this movie because it doesn't look like it's super gory. It looks like it's more action-y. And from the trailer, I'm pretty interested. That comes out on June 21st.
The first trailer that I saw was the one that I think is the same one that that was ahead of Star Trek. Where they're in the car already, and it was like so much slower paced, and you didn't see, and I was like, holy shit, I really want to see this movie, because it's like, starts out really slow, and then it just takes off. And then I saw another trailer for that movie, and
it looks like Everybody Hurts.
Kind of garbage. Okay.
The beginning of that movie looks like Everybody Hurts.
Walking Dead
falling
version
down.
Yeah. Everybody Hurts. Absolutely.
Walking
he's
going to
get out of his car, he's going to walk across the top of his car, and then there's the body stack of zombies.
But it looks like this.
Who all look like Michael Stipe.
it's good to see Michael Stipe back.
Yeah,
welcome back.
I understand what you're saying, that there's a mixed message between the two trailers. You're not sure what the quality is. I'm still excited to see it. Ricky, are you interested to see it?
I am into it. I don't like how the zombies look. They look so CGI, kind of rubbery almost. And they're zombies.
Like a
they should
game?
Look like they look like the vampires from Will Smith's I Am Legend.
You know, what's funny is that's totally the reason I'm going to see it. because they don't look like zombies. Because I can't see movies where they actually look like goopy, decaying bodies.
Yes.
Like this, you're right. They look like animals or something.
Yeah.
Like they look a little bit more. Oh my God, how am I blanking on this franchise? Mila?
The Harry Potter? No. The Resident Evil franchise.
They look more Resident Evil to me, which I can sort of see those movies, although they're a little bit gross, but I can still see them. Also, Machete.
Oh, yeah.
Kills.
Boom. Yes.
September 13th.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that at all, so I'm excited about that. And I've seen some posters look great. Early promotion stuff is looking really good. Excited to see it. I actually have not seen Machete.
What?
Oh, really? Oh,
I haven't. Well, we need to change that.
We do need to
change that. I had a fantastic time when I went to see that movie at the Vic Bruin View, and it was amazing. I saw Machete and Expendables, and I went.
Thank you for saying it.
You knocked out that Machete very well. Well done.
And then I had a better time with Machete.
Wow.
So it's so good. It's so much fun.
Well, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
I know, Ricky. I know.
Yeah. I love.
That's totally your jam.
Yeah. I love the first Machete. The trailer to this one, I was like, "Yep, I'll be there."
So those are some things to look forward to. That comes out September 13th, as I said. World War Z, June 21st. Also, June 14th, Man of Steel coming.
Boom.
Out. Now I heard this. This is news. It's not. I hesitated to bring it up, so it's a little bit spoilery.
Oh no!
So if you don't want to hear anything about this movie at all,
I don't want to know.
Not even
Not even Ricky doesn't want to hear.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want to know.
That's like my pick
for the
summer. This is
like his jam of the summer.
So, yeah, so it's like I want to go in there.
But I want you to look for it. It's an Easter egg that I want you to be able to find. All right, we can talk about it afterwards. We can talk about it afterwards.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
We'll save it for later.
But you know about it, yes?
I know about it, yeah.
We should have a spoiler chamber that we put each other in. I'll just go step in the spoiler chamber.
Well, this applies to what we're going to talk about later in the article section. If you don't want to hear about it because you're Ricky Carmona, we won't talk about it. But if you're interested at home, there are some really non-spoilery articles about the rest of the movie that just mention something that's dropping in the middle of this movie. Just a little Easter egg. Look that shit up and tweet at me. Not at Ricky.
Do not include me on these.
Final thing on the movie news. Software developer Rob Reinhart is crowdfunding a vegetarian single-source nutrition compound. This is happening.
What are you saying to me?
What I'm trying to say is that there is a software developer who is crowdfunding a nutritional supplement that you can just eat. It's like a powder. This is what it's called. This is why I'm talking about this.
Okay.
First of all, their goal is $100,000 right now, over $400,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And it is, so it's a nutrition supplement. So you don't have to eat regular food. You can just eat this. It's like Ensure, but in powder form. And it is called Soylent.
Oh.
What?
He actually decided to just go for it.
Wow.
Call it Soylent because it's soya and lentils. Also,
and people.
Yeah, and it's mostly people.
Spoiler
also.
Alert. Sorry. Everybody knows that. Everybody watches The Simpsons.
Come on
that listens to this show.
Yeah.
So, of course, Soylent Green.
Wow.
Harkening back to old sci-fi movies from way back. But also, I love the idea that, like, probably most of that crowdfunding. So he has four times as much as he asked for. Most of it is because of the name. And people secretly want it to be like a terrible, nefarious product that is maybe a movie promotion as well. There's no chance that anybody would give a shit about a meal replacement powder
if it
wasn't called Soylent.
What if this is like promotion for the RoboCop reboot that they're doing? Because the first thing I thought of when you said like crazy concentrated food supplement was RoboCop's baby food. You know, the brown, disgusting RoboCop where the guy's
that
like, ooh, tastes like baby food.
That is disgusting. That's worst Play-Doh I've ever seen. Okay, well, we'll be back with more after this. Please don't eat people. Don't eat people. Hi, guys. This is Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. I just want to let you know about something that's happening in podcasting that will affect a lot of your favorite shows, all of your favorite shows, actually. Some individuals are trying to collect on patents that they registered that could vaguely apply to something that might eventually end up being podcasting. They originally didn't have the technology to make a podcast or put it into your ears. But now they're asking podcasters like us here at Wham Bam Pow to pay them fees for the patent that they have out. This is going to affect a lot of the shows that you love. This could stop podcasting, and we need your help. All podcasters together are standing up and asking for your help. It is EFF.org/save-podcasting. You can go there, you can donate. You can also let us know on that site if you have any examples prior to 1996 of something that might be similar to a podcast. So art prior to 1996 that you could see as being similar to a podcast. We really need your help on this. So again, that is EFF.org/save-podcasting. You can make the difference that keeps your shows running. Well, welcome back to the show. Did you eat people when we were away?
Tasty.
Hope not. Don't eat people. Don't eat people.
Yum, 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 yum.
Rhea doesn't even eat animals because she said they're people.
I think they're people too.
That was one thing that she said to me. I said, that is categorically untrue, but I know what you mean. I get what you're saying. Not people.
Haven't you guys seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They're people. And
they're
turtles.
They're turtles.
They're turtles.
That
they're
are
muscular
personified.
Turtles.
They have
I
names.
Did you say erect?
I said erect.
They have opposable thumbs. Come on.
Well,
they're like pizza.
Do they
that's
have
a person.
Thumbs? I guess so.
Do they?
Yeah.
How, I never thought
you can't
about
swing just, a nunchuck.
No, you're
without
right.
An
that's what made me
valid.
I knew that's what I was imagining the nunchuck too. I was like, that's
also.
Definitely.
I believe like a thumb is integral in the psi, so Raphael would be nowhere without a thumb.
Things
you know
I'm
what?
Learning tonight.
Yeah.
Rhea knows how to pronounce machete
yeah.
and sai. Sword
she's
weapon names.
On
she's
it.
Faded.
She's on
boom.
It.
I'm well, really into blades, guys. Really into blades.
Yeah, when you walk into our house, it's like just that part in Bruce Wayne's house where it's just like all suits of armor. And then, but what's weird is that we don't have any help, so she has to clean it herself. Because, you know, we're not rich, but we have armor money. We got that around. All right, so Ricky, you brought an article.
Armor money.
We brought you
got
brought
that armor. Yeah, that armor paper.
I got that armor coat Carmona.
Yeah, that's right.
Get that Carmona.
Come on now.
All right, you brought in an article today for the show, Ricky. Run us through what we're talking about.
This is an article off of the website Badass Digest, which I'm a big fan.
Wait, I just want to stop you for a second because I feel like you kind of glossed over what the name of this is.
It is
Badass Digest.
Badass Digest. That's right. Easily, it's one of my favorite websites.
This is your personal website.
I also hope that they had no plans for what they were going to do. They just snapped that up before they were like, "Listen, let's just sit on this. Let's just park on this domain.
Yeah,
this is going to turn into something."
Somebody, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, back to you.
It's on the website Badass Digest. I am a big fan of this website. I think you two ladies would actually enjoy it as well. It's like movies and fun stuff. And article today is by Devin Faraci. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, Devin. And it is in regards to spoiler alerts and just the society, the culture, the way that we watch TV and film right now. You ladies are fans of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
You're aware of, spoiler alert, of what happened on Game of Thrones last night?
I'm not aware.
She doesn't
awesome.
Know.
Awesome. Perfect.
Didn't watch it.
Perfect. Perfect. I saw it, but I had already seen in the morning before the episode aired, people just starting to talk about what's going to be happening on Game of Thrones. And it wasn't even like specific talking about. It was just kind of like vague, oh boy, don't Google these two words or be careful with what you see.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, why is so much attention being put on this episode when so many people are talking about it? And it just starts to create in your head as you're watching it. You start to play detective a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
What's gonna be happening in this
episode?
Yeah, it
does change the viewing experience.
Absolutely.
And which I would also add that I always wonder when something gets that. Like, I just had to live tweet the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
And I was at a party. We were all a party together.
We were all at that party.
And
that's right.
I, like, couldn't participate in the party because I was just like, you know what? This is what I'm doing right now. I'm, like, doing this. But I always think it's interesting when things get really intense on Twitter or Facebook, like last night during the Game of Thrones. Everybody is. I'm always wondering, like, are these people all together? Or are they all alone? Like, how many people are currently
they
being
are
rude?
Alone. Yeah. Lonely people.
No, but like, I think some of those people are together. Some of those people, because people are having Game of Thrones viewing parties. Do you think
absolutely.
Everybody's...
Yes. No, no, no. There,
I honestly,
there's viewing
so
parties.
We're all hanging out with each other.
Yes.
And instead of like saying what we're experiencing, we're putting it directly into
get
our
on
phones.
That Twitter. Get on that Twitter.
But I think that somebody, people that have viewing parties for something that is serialized, like not the Super Bowl, are the exact people that would not spoil a show because they're so into it and so into like having that experience together that they're already just talking about it at the viewing party that they don't need to send it out and be like, I'm the first one that said it, you know, like,
right.
Because I feel like that's some of the impulse in spoiling or just or being like, I'm not spoiling it, but oh my God, just wait till,
right,
you know,
right.
Like,
oh yeah, then yeah, everybody feels like an amateur reporter slash,
yeah,
like they're open micing.
Like, I do absolutely. Know this is the penultimate episode. I know something's going to happen. Like, that's all that I want to know. I don't mm-hmm. need to know any more than that.
So, Ricky, the rest of this article...
So the rest of this article, it's his, it's Devin's reaction to people such as myself who were upset at the way people were vaguely or non-vaguely spoiling the episode of Game of Thrones.
And this applies to...
This applies...
Star Trek,
absolutely.
Everything else that we're talking about. So
absolutely.
This is... The article is really Game of Thrones heavy, but we can...
Yes. Yeah,
this
yeah.
is relevant to this podcast because, you know, we worry about spoiling things for people and we worry about, I don't live tweet watching these movies because I don't know when people are going to be watching along with, you
yeah.
know, like, so it is a consideration.
I like
just
to,
looping it all in.
Absolutely. You know, and I like to live tweet movies as well, but I always try and make a mental note of like, I'm going to live tweet something that if you haven't seen it by this point, I don't know what to tell you. You haven't seen Aliens yet? I'm
yeah.
sorry. That's what you're
yeah.
going to find out.
There's
that,
aliens in
yeah,
that
yeah,
movie.
Bishop
yeah,
yeah. Bishop is going to get his ass ripped
yep.
in half.
Uh-huh. This game
this
might
movie.
Be over, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So going back to that, Ricky.
So yeah, the reason that the article struck out with me was for, we're going to talk about Star Trek later. Somebody exactly just fits this category is J.J. Abrams, who his intent was so, he put so much intent in this movie and in a lot of his productions of like, there's something that happened in this movie that we just can't tell you about. It's just not. He just creates this. Don't spoil it. You know, no cameras on the set. None of this on the set. Or make sure you don't reveal who this character is. When is it? Just a question that I was really asking myself is when does that start to get in the way of just enjoying the movie as is? When is because I was been thinking like J.J. Abrams is almost like becoming like the P. Diddy of his movies where it's just like, dude, you're just kind of in the way of what I want to see right now. Like, why don't we just enjoy that? Because maybe a reveal isn't that big a deal, or maybe I can just enjoy the movie straightforward as it is, as opposed to, oh man, there's gonna be this moment that's coming up, and oh boy, and then I can't talk about
yeah.
it. Wait till you see it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you know what's funny is, I guess maybe this would be one way of thinking about it, is that the water cooler conversation, instead of happening after everybody has seen the episode,
yeah.
now happens before the episode, during the episode,
yeah.
and after the episode, but only for like a day, and then we have something new to move on to. So, I mean, it's definitely a news cycle issue, and it's definitely social media, and it's also, it's the entire way that we respond to things as a culture is so... that our time frames are so different now because we do spend time. I mean, teaser trailers, which we've talked about on this show before, are a great example of that we spend time caring about something before we know what it is
yeah.
and talking about it in anticipation and but with ideas as opposed to in anticipation with like, can't wonder what the new Stanley Kubrick movie is going to be about.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like, it's just a very different way of experiencing things. It's less processing after.
Yeah.
More processing before, during, after.
Yeah, we're like, and we're also in the middle of that like wheelhouse time where we're kind of figuring it out because it's happening right now. I mean, maybe 5 years from now, there will be kind of like this unspoken rule of, all right, you get like a week or you get
yeah.
3 days, and then everybody just goes online and knowingly knows like, yep, it ended like this.
Or all of our shows become a pop-up video where our friends are just like,
yeah,
this is what Ricky thinks of this exact moment. You're in the there's a picture of you in the corner. You're in the shot, just like, I can't believe it.
Write that idea down. That's brilliant.
That is brilliant. I'm going to patent that. We will be back to talk about Star Trek Into Darkness after this. Now it is the time in the show when we give a... What? In the Shaw? I don't feel good. Now is the time in the show when we give a brief review of a dick flick. Now this week, we chose Star Trek Into Darkness, which is currently in theaters. Rhea, I'm first going to say this. You are a Star Trek fan.
Yes, I am. I'm not like a huge Star Trek nerd. Because I don't want to be like, yeah, I'm really into Star Trek. And be like, who? What are you talking about? But I'm a general fan. I've watched that show since I was like 6 years old. It was on reruns when I was a kid. So I've always loved the whole universe and the look and the characters and everything. So yeah, I'm a fan.
And for you, the closest connection you feel is with Next Generation or with the original series?
No, I think original and Next Generation. And then I liked... Voyager, but not
Can
a huge
you
Deep
tell
Space.
Tell me what a fan of
no Deep Space Nine.
I mean, I just wasn't into it. It was too static. I feel like as
wow.
a because
See,
they were...
she's into it.
She's
into it. Wait, can you just tell me what's a fan of Star Trek called?
Trekker.
Trekkie.
Trekker.
See, this is how you know she's serious because she corrected me about this one time.
All yeah, right. It does. Yes, I guess I'm a fan. If it bothers me when I see the word Trekkie, so
because you think it is not you think. Because it is Trekker?
It's Trekker.
Is it?
Yes, it's Trekker.
All right. I put the phaser down.
It's on stun.
So just so you guys know that are listening, Star Trek Into Darkness, we will be spoilers hereafter.
Just don't listen to this if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, or if you don't give a shit.
Or if you don't care.
And you want us to come with you in that little pop-up video.
That's right.
Oh, this is what they were talking about. So basically the movie follows the adventures of the humans and aliens who serve in Starfleet. It's the same universe that all of the Star Trek television shows, movies have all existed within, a universe where Starfleet is a peacekeeping armada. They're explorers. They are
maybe boldly going.
They're boldly going.
Where no one has gone before?
Where no one's gone before.
Maybe.
And like the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek, this movie actually focuses on the same characters that are in the original series. So you'll see James T. Kirk and Spock and Bones and Scotty, Uhura, many others.
Sulu, Chekhov.
Yep.
Sulu, Chekhov.
And specifically the plot of this movie, there's an attack on Starfleet headquarters and the USS Enterprise has to go apprehend the person that is believed to have attacked Starfleet headquarters. So now we're up to snuff and we can talk about this shit. I'm so excited to... Well, I'm really interested to hear what you guys thought of it. Ricky, do you have any attachment to the series or to the...
I love The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Wow.
Those are my shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know
shit.
That.
Oh, yeah. Not a big fan of the original series.
Okay.
Love The Next Generation.
Well, we have a beautiful overlap between the two of us, I feel like.
Guess it's in right. this room right now, I might actually be the least familiar.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen episodes, honestly, of Next Generation, but maybe like two, and of Deep Space Nine, but maybe like two. I don't even know if I've actually seen an episode of the original series, which is shocking. But true. It just wasn't on in the house I grew up in. I feel like that's one of those shows you start when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know too many people who are in their 30s and are like,
I'm going to pick up a...
What was up with the original series of Star Trek?
Should I start a family or season one?
401k or should I see what James T. Kirk is up to?
Well, I can't wait to hear what you guys think. So I'm going to start with the worst part. Rhea, for you, worst part of this movie.
My worst part, and this is probably going to bum out a lot of people, but honestly, my worst part was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Our producer, Lindsay, she threw up.
Sorry. She's just puking over there.
She's so sad.
I don't know. There's something, like, some of it was good. I don't think he was like,
tell me why. I mean, just get specific.
He was not compelling to me as a villain.
Okay.
And actually, Peter Sagal tweeted about this in like a multi-piece tweet recently.
Oh, well, Peter Sagal. Peter Sagal? Well, if Steven Seagal said it,
come on.
Then Peter Sagal.
George Segal. Yeah, if says, don't shoot me. Anyway, just shoot me. He was just saying he wasn't menacing enough, and I totally agree. He, like, just wasn't, you know, like Hannibal Lecter, that sort of, like...
Can I ask you a question? Is he supposed to be menacing? I'm not... This is honestly a lack of knowledge about Khan.
Okay.
Yes. How... Khan is, like...
So, because I felt like what this... His playing of the part, to me, felt like a double agent-y. Mm-hmm. Where you just couldn't pin him down.
Yeah.
Also, he seemed super smart and maybe did have different priorities than a human. And that felt like it made sense to me because my understanding of the character, not human, has different priorities, kind of cold,
yeah,
emotionless. I felt like he did a good job with that. Is he supposed to be different than that?
Well, I guess I just didn't get the really intense villainy of him. He felt, to me, more of like a Q villain to throw it to Next Generation, who is not menacing like Benedict, like
but
Khan.
I guess what I'm saying
but
is just, like
it doesn't it wasn't, and even Khan in Wrath of Khan is goofy by our standards now, but at the time within that world he was frightening because he was torturing people and just killing people for fun.
Okay,
so like there's almost like a swashbuckling sort of a villainy in there, but I don't maybe it's
no,
just
I'm not disagreeing.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Say that.
I mean,
shit,
just
girl.
Didn't
have
do
your,
it for me.
Have
you know?
Your feeling on it. Stay the course on your feeling.
I have a question.
Warp speed ahead.
Whatever. Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Did you not like his portrayal of Khan, or you didn't like Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan?
I think I didn't like his portrayal of Khan.
Of Khan. Okay.
And it could also be the way it was set.
So then that's
in
JJ,
motion in the movie.
Not,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm not
no,
arguing.
No, no,
sure,
no,
sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, no.
Well, maybe what I should say is I didn't like Benedict Cumberbatch playing Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
You know, it's a multi-layered worst part.
Ricky, what about you?
I was not crazy about, I didn't think it was necessary for him overall to be Khan. Him being Khan didn't feel like, if he would have kept playing whoever, John Harrison, it'd have been fine. Which leads into, I didn't like that it turns into, at one point, Wrath of Khan,
right,
where they flip it. In Wrath of Khan, Spock dies, and Kirk is there to be with him. In this one, Kirk dies, and then Spock is there to be with him. And they're just, it took me completely out of the movie,
right,
because there's no... The benefit that those first that Wrath of Khan has is there's a 30-year history of watching those actors play those roles, and then you see that one of them die. In this one, this is movie number 2 for Chris Pine, so I'm not floored when I see him die. I'm just like, oh, he'll probably come back at some point. He's Chris Pine. They're not going to get rid of Captain Kirk in this series. And then they bring him back in the same movie.
Yeah.
What are you
5 minutes
doing?
Later. A minute later.
So what are you doing?
So here's what I actually... This is interesting to me because, again, I'm not a fan. So I went into this really open... With a really open mind because I didn't have any needs or priorities. And I like what you're saying. I actually felt like that's one of the reasons that the movie worked is... So what you're saying is that... Because my worst part is that... So RoboCop.
RoboCop is up in it. Yeah.
RoboCop is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that.
Neither did I.
Did you know Peter Weller was in it?
I had forgotten until I saw him. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's for
I had no
Peter
idea that he was in it. And I was also with my two sisters who don't give a shit about like sci-fi or action movies. And when he came out, I just turned to them and go, that's RoboCop. And they were like,
who? What? What's RoboCop?
And
they were like, do you want some popcorn? We got butter. They were like, crazy. I was like, that was crazy. Yeah. But anyway, so when that character is killed, there is so little stakes in him dying that his daughter doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, she's watching her dad get killed. She sees his head get smashed, which should, at the very least,
I feel like she screamed, though. Didn't she have like a blood curdling scream at that
she
moment?
Said,
I don't want to do
okay,
it. Was, I, I'm it just,
was, she said, like, no. Okay. Then she's like, yeah, well. I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying. Okay. You see anybody's head get smashed, their head gets smashed.
Yes.
You're going to, that's going to be with you for 1 to 2,
millennia.
Parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But if you add to that that it's your dad, I don't give a fuck if your dad is mean or not. Like, they were cool until right before that when she figured out how bad her dad was. So my point is, it just didn't feel like... Like, oh, and then she's just a part of the team, and she's like, hey, well, like,
yeah.
Here, it felt like there should be, like, so it felt to me like the entire movie was played kind of at a superficial emotional level that might mirror, like a 60s sci-fi television show. Like, it actually felt like it might be similar to, like Star Trek, the original series. Stakes
here,
yes.
Because when that original show came out, we didn't care about like high concept drama, and we didn't care about like Khan being right or wrong, or we didn't care about like because everything had to be resolved. So I actually felt like that was a part of the movie that made sense to me, even though I hated that she had no reaction. Like, that's my worst part too. I was like, what the fuck?
I would say this, that actually these now as two pieces, Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, these two movies are actually the reverse of what Star Trek original motion picture series were, which is really slow paced, lots of talking, almost zero action. So it's like the inverse, where they're putting so much action into it because they want to get people in seats and they want to do something new and they want to do something fast and fun, which I'm totally into. But also they've lost that plotting that the original Star Trek movies were able to do, which was to create, like Ricky was saying, like a really serious relationship between this crew. Like, I just don't
buy... Well, I would add to that that I agree with you that mm-hmm. there weren't... That the crew didn't seem like... Yeah, It was too loose.
It was... I in the first movie, which I also watched again today... Oh, man. I was really, like, caring about the characters. And in the new one, I didn't care as much, and I didn't know why. It was kind of like frustrating. Like when Uhura and Spock are arguing, I'm like, what is this?
So I guess my question is like, do you think there's any world where that could be intentional?
Where what do you mean?
Where where like he tried to actually make like a blow 'em up picture. Like
yes,
he tried.
I think
to
it's
make,
absolutely
because
intentional.
Because
I see what you're saying.
I guess what I'm saying is I looked at this movie and I thought, well, holy shit, somebody finally had the guts to not make a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I liked it for that reason. I just couldn't believe it because it was all fluff. Like, it wasn't Iron Man, which is trying to be really serious, but then kind of fluffy. It's like, it's just a blow-em-up. Like, it's an explosion picture.
Well, then I kind of agree a little bit with what Rhea was saying, that in the original series, the movies were very talky, and there was some action in them. Wrath of Khan specifically was made, though, like, hey, the first Star Trek movie, way too talky. let's blow some shit up in this one. And I kind of feel like if this is J.J.'s inverse of the series, then he's just going all out, blow him up. And then hopefully on the next one, where now they're finally going to go boldly where no man has gone before, it'll be a little bit more... Let's talk this shit out before we start shooting all our missiles.
I mean, this was a Michael Bay movie.
Yes.
Like a real, like the
best. Production-wise,
like the best shit Michael Bay movie that has ever been made.
It's a great-looking movie.
I want to say, okay, so let's just go on real quickly, and we're going to get through this as quickly as we can. Best parts. Rhea.
My best part is also another actor, and... My best part is Zachary Quinto.
Oh, we have the same best part.
Because with all that being said that we just said, I will admit being a fan of this franchise and bringing that awesome baggage into the movie theater with me, I cried my little Star Trek eyes out when Kirk and Spock were at the door together. I know, it was. I was crying about...
Are your Star Trek eyes shaped like upside down the V?
Yes, in the theater. I was tearing up because I was tearing up at the first Star Trek.
I said to Rhea, when she told me she cried, I was like, where? When? Like, during what part? And she was like...
Hey, I was home visiting family, so my emotions were a little ramped up.
Okay,
but I loved what he was doing in that movie. And it's like the opening sequence, which I don't think was as good as the first movie to really grab us, but like him in that volcano.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit.
Actually, I'm going to add that I loved him as well in this movie. I thought that not only did he do Homeboy does a good Spock. Like, I don't even
He does a goddamn
So he's not only great at that role, but I have to say that there's another thing going on for me that's just a personal thing, which is that, so if there is another young actor who does action movies, sometimes playing a good character, sometimes playing a bad character, action movies or sci-fi television shows, that has come out earlier than him, I can't think of it. Is there somebody else?
There's not.
Like that does the genre that he does.
No. There's not.
So I can't think of anybody.
Yeah.
So if there has been, then please let us know. I can't think of anybody. But to me, as a gay person, watching him act in this movie and watching him believably have a girlfriend and watching him get a chance to like also do some like cool kick butts, like he's like smooth and tough and emotional, like he's perfect in the role, and I just was so happy.
Yeah,
I was so happy because he didn't seem compromised at all by his coming out, and it really felt like a real moment, actually. Like I felt like I was watching this going, oh, for fuck's sake, finally, you know, like finally somebody can just, he just looks, he's, it's just great.
It's like the perfect setup as like an action character because he's playing a Vulcan who is like completely devoid of emotion
right, so
and only logical,
like
so he doesn't have to be. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And I went into this thinking like, oh man, you know, if there's anything they can't do, it's make Spock look cool running. And I take that completely back.
Yeah,
he did a great job.
Well, anyway,
I want to say,
I hope he has a long career ahead of him because I'm a fan of that dude.
I love that man.
Yeah, he's great. He was really good on an American Horror Story.
Yeah,
Also, I actually just assume that Spock is gay, but Uhura's so fine, he's like, I'm gonna holler.
Yeah,
at you guys aren't picking up on this.
Well, logically, bisexual would be the right choice. For
yeah,
the
yeah. So. He does seem right to be played by a gay actor. You're right, and I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I love that this guy is not being limited in. I mean, yeah, he's played a lot of offbeat roles, but like, fine. So nobody tried to jam him into like, okay, now we're gonna just pretend this dude is completely straight and throw him next to a chick and like have them make out. Like,
right.
He's played a lot of offbeat roles because it is offbeat. It's outside of the norm if, you know, if the majority of people are heterosexual.
He is just
fucking
so
great.
Good. He
I loved
so
it. I thought
good.
It used him to his strengths. I was stoked on it. Ricky, what's your best part?
It feels good to finally see Star Trek, now that we have two Star Trek movies, as big as I've always wanted a Star Trek movie to be. Like, I love Star Wars. It's my shit. But I think I am still kind of more of a Star Trek person.
High five.
Bam! But it finally feels good to
boom,
it feels good to see it done on this grand scale. I mean, there's the action sequences in the movie, that whole thing where like Kirk and Scotty are running, and then like the ship like starts to go sideways and they start to slide. I mean, that's a pretty great.
Isn't it so awesome?
I was already thinking like I'm
going to
watch
ship?
That on Blu-ray a lot.
It's so awesome to just see like the ship.
Yeah,
like that's a toy, but it's so great.
It's fan. So overall, I just the movie as a whole. I know I had a lot of gripes about it, but the movie as a whole was just like, yes, more of these Star Trek movies, please.
Okay, so let's hear this. So to conclude, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 batches of cumber.
Oh,
how many cumber batches?
That sounds.
Do you have? Would I batch if a butcher could
cumber batches? Yeah. Would you?
Yeah,
batch if a butcher could batch cumbers.
Out of 5, out of 4,
out of 5,
out of 5. I'll give it 3.5.
Okay, Ricky. A scale of 1 to 5 imaginary sex scenes in my head between Uhura and Spock. I'm thinking of them right now. Oh, that's good. Oh, behind that. Okay. How many? 1 to 5.
I would give it 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I am going to give Star Trek, I'm going to give it 3.5 RoboCops.
Yeah.
on a scale of 1 to 5 RoboCops.
I like
gonna
that.
Have
very well
food.
Done. That's a good crossover right
yeah.
there.
This is a fun picture. I don't think it stands up to me as anything else but fun, but it's a great summer movie and an excellent job of incorporating the original series and not, I don't feel like it let the series down. So we are going to leave you with this. And what are we thinking about this week? Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I have a very movie-centric weekend. A friend of mine has directed a movie that is in theaters right now that I went to go see, and it's great. And I think it would be good if everybody went to go saw it. It's called Kings of Summer by Jordan Vogt Roberts. And feels really good to go watch your friends do something amazing. And yeah, it just made me really happy. And it's a great movie. And you guys should all go see it. It's playing in New York and Los Angeles right now. And when it gets to your sound, when it gets to your sound and your town, holler at it.
Awesome. And Rhea, what are you thinking about this week?
I'm thinking about two things real quick. I did just go home to Ohio to visit my family, specifically Akron. So I'm wearing a Black Keys t-shirt. And you know what? You should listen to the Black Keys. They're awesome. Good dudes. Solid dudes. Pat Carney and Dan Auerbach are doing awesome things for rock and roll. And then my other one is, I forgot. Oh, sorry. Oh, yep. I got it. No. And my other one is that I love...
Keep all that in.
Sorry. I love watching movies in Los Angeles. I'm going to say that right now. If you're ever in Los Angeles and you love movies, you should see a movie here. Because people are into it and they clap and they laugh. Because I saw this movie in Akron with my mom on purpose because we're fans together. It was great for that reason. But
you
when
saw
he,
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes, I saw Star Trek Into Darkness in Akron. And no one clapped or said anything when they revealed that it was Khan. And I was just looking around like, what is going on? So go see a movie in a big city if you don't live in a big city. If you're really into it. And also see it at Regal in 3D so you can see that popcorn popping at you on the roller coaster in 3D.
Awesome. Well, my final thing is... Again, very movie actually focused. Over the weekend, Rhea and I did with some friends a double feature, Magic Mike and Behind the Candelabra.
Ooh.
Now, Magic Mike, it was a good movie. It was actually better than I thought it was going to be. It was a good movie, but I would not rewatch that. I would rewatch Behind the Candelabra as many times as my eyes could see.
That's a lot
fucking,
of times.
That is a fucking sad. And, like, moving. I can't even believe that that movie got made. I can't even believe that that movie got made. Wow. So if you haven't seen Behind the Candelabra, I really think you need to see it. It's just a crazy thing. And then also, I just can't stop laughing thinking about the fact that, like, the whole time I was watching that, because we watched it on Saturday, the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking, this is the role of Michael Douglas's career.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like, he's a different, like, this is the role of his career. And then on Sunday, he says that he got HPV from Conolingus.
Oh.
So, number one, I applaud his, I'm, like, stoked on his honesty, because I think that actually can do some great things to prevent HPV being spread and to help more people be vaccinated. But I was also laughing, thinking, like, how closely did he time the release of Behind the Candelabra and him being like, you guys understand I love pussy so much that I got cancer for pussy. Like, that was very close, that timeline in my experience of that. But anyway, way to go, Michael. Great movie. Great honesty. I'm into it. Don't stop eating pussy, though. Did I say that on the show?
Say that shit.
I feel like I'm not sure if this is the right audience.
You silverware.
For that, but I did.
You silverware.
Oh, wow.
Gross.
Oh. Okay. In conclusion, we are going to be watching Equilibrium for next week. Ricky is going to be on the road, so please go see him. And Rhea and I will be back here next week to talk about Equilibrium with you. It is available right now on Netflix. Watch Instant. Please watch Equilibrium. You guys wrote into us. You told us you wanted to see it. And we are doing it. We're seeing it for you.
And keep telling
us
what you want to see.
Yeah. Holler at us.
Holler at us. Let us know. Cameron Esposito on Twitter. Rhea Butcher on Twitter. Ricky Carmona on Twitter. And please rate and review the show as you have been doing. We appreciate it so much. Until next week, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Yeah, thank you. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay, at Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.